Directly below the carbonite pod stood the horns, their necks craned back and their mouths hanging agape as they looked up at their frozen children. Jaina's stomach instantly went cold and heavy as she struggled with her own feelings, the guilt of being the one who had suggested using the horns so cynically, the outrage of discovering the extent of the indignity being visited on their children, who were, after all, her fellow Jedi Knights. The reporters must have been as shocked as Jaina and the other Jedi, for they maintained a respectful distance behind the couches. The only sound from them was the faint hum of their equipment and a few whispered cam instructions. For a moment, Jaina thought the GAS officers were going to disappoint her and allow the confrontation to end on that sad note, with the horns watching while Silgall inspected the carbonite pods to make sure Valen and Gisella were being properly cared for in custody. Then, a long, spine-chilling wail rose from somewhere inside Mirax, and she turned to bury her head in Corrin's robes. He clutched her to his chest, his eyes growing wet and furious as he stared up at the carbonite slabs. The reporters began to shout questions, though they probably knew better than to expect answers. And a hulking Yucca in a GAS colonel's uniform came tramping out of the corner office, escorted by half a dozen armed guards and twice as many scowling captains. He was almost certainly the facility commander. The Yucca marched into the seating area without so much as looking at the reporters and went straight to Saba. Even taller and broader than she was, he had a face that was less brutish only by virtue of being covered in flesh rather than scales.
"Are you the Jedi responsible for this intrusion, Shorttail?" he demanded.
It was an exceptionally insulting way to address a Barabel. In other circumstances, it would probably have resulted in the Yucca having one of his massive arms slashed off at the elbow so it could be used to beat him about the head. But ferocious as Saba was, she was also a Jedi master, and that meant she knew better than to let herself be baited into making a foolish attack on live Holonet. She merely regarded the Yucca for a moment, then rasped,
"Who asks?"
"Colonel Retka,"
the Yucca answered. The shadow of a smile flitted across his face, and Jaina knew that Retka was doing exactly what she had suspected, trying to turn a public relations disaster into a victory by provoking a rash attack from a Jedi master. Despite their brutish appearance, Yuccas were among the most intelligent and cunning beings in the galaxy, an attribute of the cyborg brains with which most were implanted at a young age.
"Colonel Rook Retka,"
the Yucca continued, extending his hand toward Saba.
"Commander of this facility."
"Ah."
Instead of shaking Retka's extended hand, Saba slapped the writ tube into it.
"Then you wish to see."
Before Saba could say this, Mirax's horn pushed between her and Retka.
"If you're the commander of this Toxodon,"
she said, tipping her head back to look him in the face,
"then you must be the son of a shooter who decided to use my children as decorations."
"Please, it's not meant to insult them."
A twinkle of amusement came to Retka's eye, and he turned to face the cams.
"I just wanted to put them where I could see to their maintenance personally."
"The criff you did!"
Mirax's hand came up so fast that even Jaina did not see it. Retka's teeth simply clacked shut. Then his head snapped back, and he toppled onto the couch behind him. Like everyone else in the room, his bodyguards were so stunned that they did not react instantly, and that gave Jaina and the other Jedi the half-second they needed to reach out in the Force and push the guards' blaster barrels down toward the floor. Finally, the troopers shook off their confusion and stepped forward, reaching for Mirax with their free hands and ordering her to surrender. Of course, Saba, Silgall, Kip, and Corrin reacted even more quickly, placing themselves between them and Mirax.